Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on. He's here. He's in the flesh. He's the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. We've got all kinds of Zach Robinson stuff to get to, the stuff you saw in the news conference and the stuff that you didn't see outside the news conference when we sat down with him for about 20 minutes. We even have more to share on probably the next podcast, but we get into plenty here. And it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealers. They've got so many great lease deals now that end this month. Many vehicles under $300 a month on a three-year lease. You've got vehicles under $400 a month, like the Bronco Big Ben, F-150 Super Crew STX. Check out all the details at BillCurryFord.com. There's nothing hidden there. Bill Curry Ford has been serving the community since 1960. They're a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. They've got mobile service. They'll do service at your home. They'll take care of you in the largest service department in Florida. With a loaner vehicle, they got everything at Bill Curry Ford. Check them out. BillCurryFord.com. We'll talk about them later. And we'll also talk about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. They are your first phone call when you have a property disaster. You know what they are. Water damage, flood, fire, mold, storm damage. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. All right. Plenty to get to with Ira. We recorded yesterday, Wednesday, at Hooters. Thanks for hosting us there, Hooters. And all kinds of stuff on Zach Robinson and more. We'll see you later in the week for our next episode. We appreciate everybody subscribing at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, iHeartRadio. And for all those who continue making our WDAE show on Saturdays and Sundays a success, we appreciate that greatly. Varying times, so check JoeBucksFan.com. But we will be on twice this week, Saturday, and with a replay on Sunday. All right, Ira, look, you have been around for many, many offensive coordinator introductions. The list is long. We had one today. Your impressions of Mr. Zach Robinson taking the podium, then sitting with us media clowns for half an hour?
I'll give three adjectives, Lee. Smooth, articulate, careful. Smooth, articulate, and careful. I thought he handled himself well, but there were some areas he just didn't want to go into at all. He didn't want to talk really about his tenure in Atlanta. I asked him about Bijan Robinson. He doesn't want to talk about any of that. I think the question that raised a few eyebrows was, have you heard from Mike Evans? And I believe that question came from our man right here, our moderator.
He said, I'll leave that out.
I'm not leaving it out. It was a simple thing to handle, and he didn't want to do it.
I always go back to Mike Florio, the great Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. My favorite saying of his, silence invites speculation.
I thought his favorite saying is, buy my book.
That's Howard Stern.
Well, he's got some books, too. Florio's got some books.
I know, but yeah. He wasn't as much of a promoter as Stern. Anyway.
Silence provokes speculation.
Silence invites speculation. Why couldn't you say, okay, if you didn't talk to him, I'll talk to him soon. If you did, yeah, I talked to Mike. What are you hiding? I mean, that's something that's so flippin' simple.
Maybe it caught him by surprise, Steve.
You how?
Know, which you're good at, Steve.
How could that catch about you? I mean, he's a Hall of Fame receiver who may or may not come back to the Bucs, and
maybe
you're scared?
Maybe
you
haven't said, I wish you the best. I'm not playing this year.
Well, I mean, so yeah, I talked to him and leave it at that. Or, yeah, I plan to talk to him. I mean, it's something that's so innocent, and he's hiding from that?
I think if he had to do it over, I think he would have answered it.
Well, he had a chance later with us in a sidebar, and he didn't, you know. That's just weird, man.
Well, I don't think I caught him by the surprise 22 minutes into the news conference saying, have you talked to Mike Evans since he got the job? That's not exactly a gotcha question.
Not even close.
It was just a little strange because if he didn't talk to him, he could have just said, no, I look forward to it.
Yeah.
If he did talk to him, he could have just said,
yeah, we spoke.
Yeah.
That almost tells me he knows Evans isn't coming back.
Well, we know who he did talk to, and that's Baker Mayfield, who happened to be standing in the back of the room. I didn't see him, Lee.
I didn't. Logan saw him, and Logan put it out on Twitter.
Now, there's a little bit of paranoia out there, and you could say Robinson touched on that once or twice today because, in theory, he's not allowed to talk to players until they report back. He can't talk any football with anybody. He even said, anything more than a hi, how you doing? Not supposed to do that. Now, we know they break that rule all the time. Maybe he was a little paranoid about that. I don't know.
Ira, my take on the guy? First off, I thought he commanded the room. I thought he won the press conference. But, there's a big but, Who the hell cares? That's true. Means nothing about wins and losses. But he commanded the room, and so did Greg Schiano. He sounded and looked like a pro.
Now,
he sounded and looked, and this bothered you, because I don't know what the man's soul is. I don't know what his conscience is, but looking and sounded audibly like Bruce Allen.
And when you said that, I winced.
Yeah, you got it. You didn't like that.
By the way, I beg to differ with our comrade over here. Robinson did not win the press conference.
Whoa.
His two kids did. They're cute as a button, Steve. Cute as a button.
I think one of them
and
said,
here I am with no grandkids.
I think one of them,
you know, it's driving me up a wall.
I think one of them said, hi, Dad, when he started or something like that. It was funny.
I think the kid was looking at me.
This guy Robinson, he gets on the podium, virtually no pleasantries, just immediately started talking about his job. I like that, man. Most of these guys, they get up there and they look like they're not awestruck, but they're out of their league.
Ira, it came up a couple of times, once from you, asking Robinson about, hey, you carved up Todd Bowles' defense a couple of times, three times, in fact, over the last couple of years. And did that come up in your discussions with Bowles? I think it was actually in total asked three times. And now, it wasn't going there, said, no, we haven't talked any scheme, nothing like that, no way. You believe that?
Well, if that conversation hasn't taken place, it's going to. It's going to. Otherwise, Bowles is derelict of duty again, Lee. I love that phrase. You got to ask the guy that just carved you up. Out of the four times, I think he carved you up three times, and maybe not in the season opener. Maybe
averaged not. 444 yards a game.
He did, but they scored 20 points in the season opener. I wouldn't call that carving up, but you get the point.
Yeah, the three times with Kirk Cousins, he carved him up.
Yeah. Of course, if I'm Bowles, I want to know what he saw, what he attacked, and what can I do about it? Of course he's going to ask that. If he hasn't already, I think he's already talked to him about it.
If he didn't, he's derelict of duty, because we know that he wasn't hired on the spot. Close, but he wasn't hired on the spot. And if Bowles didn't ask, why were you so effective against my defense? What were you seeing? Where was my defense vulnerable? If he didn't ask him that, I'd be tempted to ask Bowles to resign if I was a Glazer. If that happened, and I hope for Bowles it didn't happen, but if he did not ask that to Robinson in the initial interview, I would ask Bowles to resign.
You're still trying to get rid of Bowles?
Bluntly saying, if you get carved up by a guy like he did, for average, 444 yards offense, and you don't know if you're ever going to talk to the guy again, he was not hired on the spot, and you didn't ask that guy that is irresponsible.
Yeah, I agree with Lee. Hopefully, I don't believe Robinson.
I don't either.
And I'll tell you why. I thought he revealed himself. Because remember, he said, well, you know, we didn't get into a lot of schemes and this and that, and I haven't had time to look at everybody and the offense, and lots to figure out. Then in our sidebar, I asked him about Jalen McMillan, and he revealed that he's watched every snap of Jalen.
He knows everything about him.
Every snap of Jalen McMillan, every target since he's been a Buccaneer. So I'm thinking, well, that couldn't have been the first thing that you did. You know, so Robinson is, like you said, very careful, and that's fine. I respect that. Did you guys find it as interesting as I did that he said that he's best friends with Liam Cohen, talks to him every day?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my mind, if you put two and two together, Liam Cohen helped him carve up Todd Bowles' defense. Who knew it better than Liam Cohen as far as a best friend of Zach Robinson?
Possibly. But
well, doesn't explain what happened in 2024. Liam Cohen was on the Bucs.
Well.
No, Steve, no, come on.
I'm with Steve on 2025.
Yeah.
2024, Robinson, just so people don't go off the rails here, Robinson was very clear that him and Cohn wouldn't talk football because they were going against each other, and it drove them nuts because they're best of friends because of football. But once Cohn left Tampa Bay, it was back to football conversations again.
And, of course, maybe he talked to Sean McVay. McVay always had a lot of success.
Bingo.
But that was kind of fun, him acknowledging that, yeah, all last year I talked to Cohn, who obviously maybe had a little bit of an axe to grind with the Bucs, even though it wasn't legitimate. The way he left, maybe he wanted to stick it to him.
Sure.
I don't know. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, I believe that.
The one thing we can't get around is, without Mayfield's approval, this ain't going to happen.
Probably.
It's just not happening. He's out there interviewing for somebody else's OC job right now.
Yeah, but by the way, what Steve said, Cohn may be giving away secrets after Cohn left the Bucks. I don't think it's sinister at all. Because what's he got to lose? He had a coach. He's helping out a friend. I don't see a problem with that.
Whatever he told him in 2025, it certainly worked for the primetime game in Tampa, especially in the fourth quarter. Yep. Robinson had a lot of success against Todd Bowles' defense.
Yes, he did.
There's no getting around it.
And
there's no getting around it.
I have to figure that's a McVay thing. Or should I say a Shanahan thing? Shanahan's always had a lot of success. Those guys come from the Shanahan tree. There's something there. That type of offense does very well against Bowles' defense. I don't know what that is. I'd love to know. And I hope, for Bowles' sake, he finds out, and finds out fast.
Now, his enthusiasm, Steve, for the offensive line, when healthy, I think that's warranted. I don't think that's hyperbole. Atlanta had a good offensive line. Lindstrom, very, very good guard, all-pro type. But as a group, I don't think Atlanta's O-line matches up to the Bucs when they're healthy.
Was there anything football that excited you, intrigued you, anything football-wise?
Yeah, I think he's determined to get Bucky Irving back on track. He talked about him a little bit when I asked him about how important it is to get the ball out to running backs in space. The one thing that I didn't ask him was, how are you going to deal without Bijan Robinson? How are you going to go about your business? Oh. Because I did ask him an early question where I said, it's a natural focal point when you're the coach of the Atlanta Falcons. This is the guy.
Of course.
You got to get him the ball. You give it to him. You throw it to him. He had 2,300 yards from scrimmage.
You get the ball in his hands.
You get the ball in his hands. When Raheem called him the best player in football, which I think he did two games into the season, people laughed
he's
at
not
Raheem
far
Morris.
Off.
He's not far off.
No.
He's not far off. Now, you can say something about Matt Stafford or whatever you want to say, but Robinson's in the conversation. I don't think you can look at Bucky Irving, Sean Tucker, you know, or Chris Godwin, and say that's got to be your focal point. I think it's a different type of situation.
Mike Evans,
Atlanta's
yes.
very unique. There aren't too many Bijan Robinsons around, Steve.
No, not at all. I mean, it's not a one-man show, but he has to get the ball. The Bucs have too many guys to say one guy has to get the ball, unless his name's Mike Evans.
Well, two things. They got more varied weapons than the Falcons. And two, more importantly, they don't have Bijan Robinson.
No, they don't. Not many teams
let's not
do.
Kid ourselves. They don't have him.
Who does outside of Atlanta?
But before Bucky Irving went AWOL, you know, I would have said he's not Bijan Robinson, but you know, he's the second tier of Bijan Robinson. Mm-hmm, now mm-hmm. I can't say that.
I agree with you.
So I think resurrecting Bucky Irving is priority one for this guy.
It would not shock me unless I know this is Steve's thing. Unless the Bucs sign this Tyler Allgeier, it would not shock me if the Bucs drafted a running back on the second day of the draft. Would not shock me at all.
You know, Steve, I was tempted to talk about Allgeier and Kyle Pitts, but he's not going to talk about them as potential free agents. He's not.
Well, he was so guarded with everything, so careful.
I figured he wasn't going to answer it.
I mean, it became obvious, and I know most of the fans listening, maybe a lot of them anyway, watched the video of his 25-minute news conference. We had another 25 minutes or so with him separately, and he's just very careful. You know, he's not going to give you the big soundbite or the big in-depth thought about what he was doing in Atlanta or what he wants to do here. He was just, you know, answered the questions, gave good answers, but he wasn't going to tell you about
it. I think those are two free agents the Bucs should definitely be interested in, Lee, and especially when you got inside intel. Now, if this guy says, Kyle Pitts had a once-in-a-lifetime season, he's not going to matter. Whatever intel. But off the top, I think you got to be very interested in Allgeier and Kyle Pitts.
I don't disagree. I think Cade Otton is meh. Unless, he had a really nice game against Carolina. It's like, okay, the 17th game of the year, you finally break out.
One touchdown catch.
But it looked sharp, and he went downfield with it. It's like, thank God. So I hope that Robinson either says, we either got fish or cut bait with this guy. If we're going to keep him, we got to use him. We got to use him downfield, or we go get somebody else.
And Steve, for anybody who looks at, when I'm talking about Tyler Allgeier, I know how you feel about Allgeier, saying, he's a backup. Well,
okay.
He's a backup to the best running back in football,
yeah.
Lee. That's not a big knock on
as
Allgeier.
A rookie. He was a rookie starter and had 1,000 yards.
Then they had a chance to draft this Robinson. Yeah, you got to draft him.
Of course.
And that's dovetails in what I was going to say. You know, Steve asked you, did anything he said, Robinson say, that got you excited? Well, what got me excited, he wants to be like Cohen in the sense that he's a firm believer in motion before the snap, pre-snap motion.
That got you excited.
Well, it didn't get me excited like Kate Upton, but yes, it got me intrigued. A lot of the Twitter intelligentsia, they love the McVay people and they love the Shanahan people. I agree. But apparently they believe that pre-snap motion equals excitement in offense. It means you're aggressive. And I get that. I'm not knocking it whatsoever. There's a reason why Cohen was so successful with the Bucs. He did a lot of pre-snap motion. He came from McVay. Guess who else came from there? Robinson. And I think it's already worked 2 years ago. 2 years ago, it worked and worked very well for the Bucks. So I like that Robinson wants to duplicate that because it works so well. That's a good sign in my eyes. So that gets me intrigued.
I'll tell you what got me excited, Steve, besides Kate Upton. When he didn't downplay my idea of throwing downfield three or four times to stretch the defense. He did say you've got to stretch the defense unless they're playing that kind of a coverage.
Bingo. Don't force it. Don't force it.
I don't know about forcing it, but I'm still throwing it three or four times down the field. I'm looking for flags. I'm looking for scalps, and I'm looking for flags.
I'm looking for completions. but penalty's nice.
Yeah, nothing really stuck out to me from Robinson. We know what's coming, which is Liam Cohen.
He loves Mayfield.
An attempt at Liam Cohen.
Yep.
He knows Mayfield. He loves Mayfield. He knows the personnel pretty well. He talked about the looking at the film because of the comparable matchups for Atlanta. So he was watching what the Bucks did against X team that Atlanta would face. And I asked him about his first interview here. He didn't really want to go there when Cohen was hired instead of him. And he clearly is able to command a room, which I think can help with the players. You know, it was very different from Josh Grizzard just being around the guy. Grizzard was clearly a little nervous when he first stepped into the job, a little unsure of what he was going to be doing, but that doesn't mean anything in January when his real job is in August. But, you know, Bucks fans should be excited because this McVay tree has done well. I asked him if he had a bit of a chip on his shoulder because he wasn't a head coaching candidate this cycle, and he downplayed that, saying, yeah, those things come. But he acknowledged that he's in the mold of Mayfield and Cohen, that, yeah, I come into things with a chip on my shoulder.
Lee, is it fair for some Buck fans to say, now wait a minute. The only experience we have to look at Zach Robinson as a play caller is 2 years in Atlanta, and they were no great shakes on offense in those 2 years.
Unless they faced Bowles.
That's a good point. But is that a fair point to make?
It's very fair. However, this guy's as close to Cone as they get.
I hope he's got some of Cone's special sauce, Lee.
We all do.
In terms of creativity, yeah.
Yeah, we all. If he doesn't, we're looking at inspiring change, I think. You and I are sort of on the same boat. We see a reset potentially coming. So I think if he fails, it will inspire change. The NFL wants to talk about inspired change, so do I, and so do a lot of Bucks fans. They want inspired change.
Hey, what do you think about the job he did in Atlanta overall?
The X factor is how good or bad is Michael Penix? Nobody really knows for sure. So he was trying to develop a rookie quarterback his first year, though Cousins played most of the year, and the offense there was better with Cousins the first year. Last year wasn't as good, but Penix, you know, handled half the starts, and I don't know. I like that he has some experience developing a rookie quarterback, working with a rookie. I asked him about that. He didn't really answer the question.
The jury's out on Penix, right, Steve?
Yeah,
it's fair to say.
Yeah. He didn't really answer the question on that, but I like that he has that experience in case the Bucks do draft a quarterback fourth round, fifth round, whatever it might be. You know, Robinson was a rookie quarterback in the NFL with the Patriots, and then they got rid of him pretty quickly. He was with some other teams. He understands that process pretty well now, whereas Cohen hadn't developed a rookie quarterback. Canales hadn't developed a rookie quarterback when he arrived.
He also didn't downplay the importance of having a capable backup quarterback.
Well, why would he? He just had a $48 million backup quarterback. You know, they'd probably help get him this job. You know, I don't know. A lot of questions, but, I mean, it's hard not to like the potential in the guy.
Now, you mentioned earlier, Robinson didn't do all that well against Atlanta. His first year, he actually did. They had the sixth overall offense.
Yards.
Yeah, yards. I have no idea about the scoring, but yards. So it wasn't like they were Clyde Christensen with Dungy Ball. Last year, not so good. Their offense yards wasn't so good, but the first year, 2 years ago,
you know, you're right. Before Cousins went off the rails two-thirds of the way through the 24 season, they were scoring a lot of points.
Yeah, they were moving the ball. I'm always suspect of yards only because Lovie Smith taught me that. Because Lovie Smith's defense in his final season was a top 10 defense in yards. Top 10.
Everybody
said it was horrible.
What were they in scoring?
Exactly. Horrible. Not very good in scoring. I did ask him about Kyle Trask. Everybody loves Kyle Trask. So we'll share that after we remind everybody that at Bill Curry Ford, you've got the January offers are winding down. You got to hustle over there. They're open Saturday. They're open Sunday. And they've got the Ira Kaufman discount for you. You just ask GM Sean Sullivan for that. You can find him at the website or at the dealership a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Don't worry. Drive Curry. Family owned makes a difference. Ira since 1960. BillCurryFord.com. Curry, that's the family name. They still work there. The Currys. C-U-R-R-I-E. BillCurryFord.com. And as we heard before, Sage, if you have mold, you make one phone call immediately. Florida's Elite Restoration. Get your free inspection from licensed mold remediation specialists. Florida's Elite Restoration, 5-star Google reviews. They service the whole Bay Area across the state. They've got an Ira Kaufman discount. You mention Ira when you first call. You just say, heard about you guys from Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks.
Now, Steve, people in need, their reflex would be to call their insurance company.
Don't do that. You want to get your own evaluation free first and then call your insurance company. And Florida's Elite Restoration, if you wanted to move forward with them, they will handle the insurance side of things because they've got decades of experience on the insurance side of the business. They know how to make sure you're not going to get ripped off. And that goes for storm damage, mold, water damage. You're the water damage whisperer, Ira. You know all about it. Whatever it might be, any kind of disaster at your property, call them first, be smart, and check out those 5-star Google reviews.
And ask for the Ira discount. Yeah, Steve.
And their website, so you're prepared in advance. Do it now. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. All right, so Kyle Trask, Ira, Bucks fans.
Are we going to spend time on Kyle Trask on our beloved podcast?
Well, fans want to know.
I think it's important because who picked him up last year when he had no team? The Falcons. He went
and
to
then
the Falcons.
Who didn't pick him up all season when teams could have plucked him off the practice squad?
Sure, but what,
nobody.
What Steve's getting at is it looks like the Bucks are going to need a backup. Robinson coached the guy.
Robinson spent 6 weeks with Kyle Trask. He said it was a joint decision. He had a lot of good things to say about Trask. I'm sure fans read about it at JoeBucksFan.com. And, you know, that may just be more of the nice coach speak, but they did keep him till the end of the season. And if the Bucks want a body in camp, who knows the offense, is known
knows
as...
Knows the offense? They got a new coordinator.
Yeah. He was just with Zach Robinson for 7 weeks in Atlanta.
Well, we don't know that he's going to use the concepts that he had in Atlanta.
He knows the offense to a degree. Robinson himself said that he had a very loose leash, you know, with Raheem Morris, and he expects the same kind of thing with Todd Bowles.
Look, if you want to bring Trask on the practice squad, I won't argue with you. If you want to name him as the backup to Mayfield, Lee, I'm going to be screaming again on this podcast.
What I'm saying is, Ira, they bring four quarterbacks to camp. If Kyle Trask is out there and Robinson likes him, maybe he ends up showing up back here as a competing for a third-string job.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Trask fan only because he's never shown me he could do anything. I've never been impressed with him in practice. I never walked away from a practice and said, my God, this guy could start and lead a team to the playoffs. I've never been that guy. I've seen him have some really, really pathetic practices.
You're not alone, Lee. You're not alone. The rest of the NFL
Yeah, that's true. But there are Bucks fans out there that, by God, this guy is the... Is the next Dan Marino. You just don't know any better. Okay. How come I saw a Bucks receiver, a veteran receiver, cuss out Trask at a practice in Pittsburgh? I was right there, 4 foot in front of me. Cussed him out.
Well, these are the same people that thought Shane Matthews was a budding All-Pro. What was he, in Chicago? Matthews. And, you know, and Danny McManus for FSU fans. you know, it's a different game. It's a different game.
Ira, a couple things at One Buck Place that need your thought process, your sage wisdom. There were two. One was, it was very clear because a member of the Buccaneers came to you and seemed to be reminding you that, hey, you guys have been very harsh on Todd Bowles. And you talked to him and said, hey, you know, I wasn't sitting here calling for his scalp. And after you left, I chimed, set the guy straight on what's
good
reality or not.
Good for you.
And he backed down because he knew I was speaking truth as it related to some things that he was expressing. But my question to you is, do you feel that there is a little bit of angst or animosity toward the media in general about the last month with Todd Bowles?
Yeah, I would say the media in general, not directed specifically, Lee, at Joe Bucks fan. Certainly not. But we try to reflect the public sentiment. It doesn't mean that we always think they're right, but we're trying to give the fans a voice, and we do. And that voice is loud. I tell everybody, talking to my brother or my cousin, I said, you know, the antipathy towards Bowles is it's a crescendo, and it hasn't abated. It hasn't abated.
There was a story I wrote this morning. I write so many, I can't remember, but it was not about Bowles. Might have been about Robinson. Very first comment. When are we getting rid of Todd Bowles? This is crazy.
Now, Steve, I don't like the personal stuff, like toilet bowls. We don't need that. It's weak sauce. I think it takes away from the points that you're trying to make when you're being sophomoric like that. I mean, that's high school. But I understand the frustrations to a point. Like, to a point. The Bucks had a bad year. Nobody's going to argue with that. But the year before, they didn't have a bad year. They lost the playoff game, but they didn't have a bad year. And fans were still, a lot of them were still calling for Bowles' scalp. The Glazers look at it differently. They're going to give him another chance. If it happens again, Lee, he's out.
Yeah, they generally, he's out. They generally, and I emphasize the word generally, give a coach two losing seasons to get the job done. After the second losing season, out the door you go. Unless this same guy won a Super Bowl for the Glazers, i.e. Chucky, but you can go on down the list. When a coach has a second losing season in a row, bye-bye.
Maybe that holds for Light, too. Light won a Super Bowl with the roster that he forged.
I get all the fan angst, Ira. I do. I totally get it. The question for me, and it'll be interesting to see how it evolves, is at what point, if at all, for a lot of fans, but at what point do you just close the book on the previous year and just start off 0-0? I'm evaluating the coach on this season coming up.
I think it's very hard because, as Lee has pointed out, and I don't think Lee's out of whack, they're still talking about Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
So they haven't even forgotten about that.
They haven't got past that.
Cooper. And by the way, you know who knows that he's on the hottest of hot seats?
Todd Bowles.
Bowles is not naive.
That dovetails beautifully into my next question for you. We found out that Todd Bowles was in the building at One Buck Place.
Of course he's in the building.
One in the building. Well, he wasn't at the Senior Bowl, and he could be doing other things. But he was in the building at One Buck Place for Zach Robinson's news conference and wasn't there. Sometimes the coach will want to introduce the guy, talk for 2 minutes, why I hired him. Sometimes he's just there for support.
We don't know that Light was in the building, Lee. We don't know
He's in down Senior Bowl, yeah.
But what do you think of Todd Bowles not coming out?
I was hoping Bowles would show up today. Just we haven't talked to him since the end of the season. Talk about Zach Robinson, besides a canned statement that he put out. Ask some pointed questions about why you think this was the guy. Yeah, there were other guys that are their options, and why him. But I was a little disappointed Bowles didn't show up. I thought he could have taken a half an hour out of his interview process or whatever.
Just to be clear, so Bowles doesn't look like some scoundrel. Allegedly, from what Robinson said, he was actually interviewing future assistant coaches on offense. And that, to me, was a weird statement. I was like, wait a minute, you're an offensive coordinator and you're not in on these meetings? What doesn't add
and
up
Steve,
here?
To be fair, I don't remember if Bowles showed up for Liam Cohn or Canales.
He was not there for Grizzard. I don't remember the other ones, but he wasn't there for Grizzard. Whatever. I wanted to ask your opinion on that, Ira.
Here's a little tidbit on interviews since we got on that subject. Robinson allegedly, after he interviewed with the Bucks and with Todd Bowles, made it as far as the airport.
That's interesting.
And he got a phone call. He's like, don't interview with anybody else. You're hired.
Yeah.
Now, as far as Robinson, I can say that he has a three-year contract. And I think a lot of the people who think the Glazers are super cheap, they might say, well, or might be a little surprised by that because that's a three-year deal. They're still paying Grizzard, and if they wanted to really save money, they wouldn't be paying an established offensive coordinator 3 years if you thought, you know, that they were trying to give Bowles one more chance and Robinson might not last here too long. So just throwing that out there.
Well, maybe they felt that Robinson wouldn't take the job, maybe.
Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah,
very
I'm sure true. They gave him what they thought he needed to take the job.
To be competitive.
Also, they don't want to get caught with their pants down if if they give him a two-year deal and he lights it up and wants to stay and doesn't get a new job, then the third year that's going to cost them a fortune. So, Ira, I got to ask you about the Super Bowl, the Seahawks winning the NFC over the Rams, and, of course, the Patriots got there. But I got to look at it from the standpoint of Sam Darnold. Here's a quarterback. He signed the exact same contract Baker Mayfield did, 3 years, $100 million. He has nearly identical statistics. Led the league this year in fumbles, tied with Baker Mayfield. He was third in interceptions. He doesn't run too much, but he's been very effective. There's talk out of Seattle that they might throw him an extra year on his contract after the Super Bowl to try to lock him up for a year versus giving him a huge extension. I don't know. You think there's any parallels here with Mayfield? And do you think the Bucks are watching what happens with Darnold and maybe an extra year on his
Lee,
deal.
I'm not sure about the parallels because the guy's won 29 games in the last 2 years. 29. I mean, that is a huge total. And here he is in the Super Bowl. He looked great against the Rams, Lee. He played a marvelous game. He might have outplayed Stafford. And it's not like Stafford played bad. He didn't. But he just kept coming with Seattle, you know, with that offense. He's got some weapons. He's got the best receiver in football. If he doesn't, Stafford does in Nacua. But this kid is fantastic. You love mentioning his name, Njigba.
Yeah, that's how you pronounce it, Njigba.
He's phenomenal. He's just phenomenal. Ohio State, right, Lee?
Yes.
Ohio State. I don't see a lot of comparisons with Mayfield because he didn't drop off this season like Mayfield did. Now, look, 24 season ended poorly for Darnold.
Don't get me wrong.
Otherwise, he'd still be in Minnesota.
I'm talking
Minnesota
more,
made a huge mistake. Huge. Huge.
I'm talking more about the Bucs, right? The Mayfield's a pending free agent after this year, after the 2026 season. So he's got one more year to go. But when the front office types talk to agents, they talk about contracts and other players. And Mayfield and Darnold signed the same deal. So what's next for either guy is probably pretty relevant. Same draft class, same, you know.
But, Steve, one guy ended up in the Super Bowl, and the other guy ended up throwing a lot of interceptions.
Okay, losing 7 of 9 games.
Okay, but you're thinking of this as if I'm saying something I'm not. Darnold is playing his first season on a 3-year, $100 million deal, so $33 million a year. If the Seahawks go to him after the Super Bowl and say, Sam, we want to reward you and give you one more year, we'll give you one more year at the back end for $45 million as a thank you, and we'll guarantee it. If he takes it, well, the Bucs could then go to Mayfield and say, look, we want to do what they did for Darnold. We'll give you one more year at 40.
Ooh.
That's what he's making this year. So it's not even a raise. You know, just to give everybody more flexibility, and Mayfield gets guaranteed cash. I'm just saying that's how they look at these things. They're not going to start talking to him about the dozen quarterbacks making 50-plus million.
I guess maybe I'm trying to be too simplistically, but at this point, Seattle has no questions about Sam Darnold. None. You want to extend him? That's going to be a short conversation among the Seattle executives.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case with the Bucs hierarchy and Mayfield. I think things changed in the middle of the season. They changed.
Well, they didn't change. I don't think they changed in the middle of the season. I think they changed after Mayfield lost 7 of 9 games. That's when it changed.
And I'm not saying he's not going to get that extension, but he's got to at least get off to a good start in 26.
Well, this is the way I look at it. And I hope I've been clear in the past. I'm pro Mayfield. I love his intangibles. But you can have the intangibles up the wazoo. If you don't win games, it doesn't matter.
And Lee, you know how Bowles feels about giveaways, right or wrong?
Oh, well.
Right or wrong.
All defensive coaches are like that. I get it. You know, that's in their DNA. I swear, defensive coaches would rather lose and not turn the ball over than turn the ball over 3 times and win. I swear to God.
Does Mayfield have the most interceptions over the last 2 years than any quarterback?
No.
He does not.
No.
He does not.
But that's what makes it interesting because, again, you got a defensive head coach in Seattle, and he's got the quarterback with the most turnovers. So it's interesting. It's just interesting.
About Mayfield, if I'm the Glazer family, I got to see how 2026 plays out.
The whole season?
The whole season. Because if you make a decision at mid, what happened 9 games in last year? Mayfield fell off the cliff. And would I want to give him if I'm the Glazer family, would I want to sign Mayfield to an extension 4 games in? Then all of a sudden we have a repeat of this year? Then you're your SOL then. So I would have to wait through the whole season. I got to be convinced he's the guy. Right now I'm not convinced.
And you know, I don't think it bugs Mayfield that much because he's bet on himself before, Steve. He's bet on himself before and won. And I think he's willing to do it again. I love his self-confidence.
He's also the kind of guy who loves to throw somebody the middle finger.
Yeah,
and if they tell him no, Mayfield, we're gonna have you bet on yourself in 2026, and he has a good year, and he says, "Screw you, I'm gonna replace Matthew Stafford." He just retired.
I got 2 words.
If he has a good year, he could do that.
I got 2 words: franchise tag. If he has that good of a year, and rumors are he's gonna replace Stafford in Los Angeles, franchise tag. Boom. End of story. Like it or not like it, he's with the Bucs.
So you offer him an extension. And if he doesn't want to take it,
here's what I do. At the end of the season, I sit down with my brothers, Joel and Brian, and my sister, Darcy, and I sit down with Light, and I look at the atmosphere. I look at the big picture. Is he my quarterback for the next 5 years? Can we win a Super Bowl with this guy? If the answer is no, I'm getting one of those quarterbacks in the draft next year. And it's supposed to be a loaded draft. I love Mayfield, but it's about results. He's losing 7 of 9 games and playing as bad as he played. I don't give that guy an extension. I don't care what his name is. I want to give him an extension. That means he turned things around. That means he's the guy. But he's got to earn it.
Are we convinced, Steve, that there's a couple of offensive slots that have to be filled from a coaching standpoint? Are we convinced that Robinson's going to bring in his guys from Atlanta?
We don't know. We don't know. No, we're not convinced.
Except for Carberry. He confirmed Carberry's staying.
Well, Carberry's staying, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, frankly, I heard that Pacucci, the guy who went to join Liam Cohen, now Pacucci was named offensive line coach last year. They promoted Carberry from offensive line coach to whatever they call it, run game, pass game coordinator,
yeah, yeah.
That Pacucci was on the list to go bye-bye of the coaches that they didn't mind losing. You know, or might have just let go straight up. That's what I heard.
Some other people are thinking that he's a rising star. I mean, to me.
Who's this?
Pacucci. To me, Carberry gets the credit.
Yeah. I mean, this guy was an assistant coach. Come on. I mean, so was Carberry once upon a time, but he proved himself with the Bucks.
It's like giving Thad, you know,
yeah.
Thad Lewis the credit for Mayfield's 41 touchdown passes a couple of years ago.
You could take that a lot of ways. People like to give credit. A lot of people gave Dave Canales, his quarterback's coach, credit for Geno Smith. Why? He wasn't the play caller. He wasn't the guy. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the proof, Lee. If Baker Mayfield still wanted Dan Lewis as the quarterback coach,
He'd be here.
Yeah.
All right. So before we get out of here, I do want to reiterate. I've now put a number on it. I'll bet $100 with one of you guys.
How much?
$100, you guys can think about it. Over the next months, it's going to be months. I bet $100 the Bucs will extend Mayfield before the season. Maybe it's 1 year, but I think they want to do it.
That's crazy.
So, like, by the end of training camp? By the end of training
camp.
Yeah,
even if it's 1 year. Even if it's 1 year.
Man, that's a lot of faith.
Would he definitely take that? Would he accept it?
If it's guaranteed money, it's just like any other player. Are you going to say no to guaranteed tens of
Maybe
millions of dollars?
Maybe he thinks he could cash in for a big contract if he has a big season.
That's blind faith.
Yeah.
That's blind faith.
All
and
right.
That might be stupid faith. Again, with those quarterbacks coming out in 2027. And we know the Glazers covet that rookie franchise quarterback. And, man, I couldn't do it.
All right, Sage, final thoughts?
We have an offensive coordinator in Tampa.
Thanks, Aaron.
And he talks a good game, close to the vest. He's not a media darling, Lee. But then again, neither are you. So,
Again, I thought he commanded the room. I thought he won the press conference, but it doesn't mean a hill of beans. Real quick, Ira, and for the people who don't like non-football talk, you can go ahead and go about your business.
All right.
This is an Ira Kaufman story.
Is this going to be a movie review? No, no.
No movie review. I don't do movies.
Go ahead.
The King of Newport Richie invited Steve and I to his castle over the weekend.
And Steve's wife.
I want to thank you for that, Ira. That you have a wonderful house. I really love the layout, especially the patio, the backyard, the pool, your inflatable jacuzzi. It was a wonderful time. You fed us well. Shoot, you 3 days later, you're asking us, did you get enough food? But I want to thank you, Ira, and you do have a nice castle. The King of Newport Richie has a nice castle.
And how about the creature that runs the castle? Oh,
Cosmo's so cool. I got to describe this real quick. Cosmo, while we're eating, Cosmo sat at my feet. If I didn't look, I didn't see him. And for old college basketball fans, he reminded me of Jerry Tarkanian, the old UNLV coach. He's sitting there chewing on his toy while he's looking up at me with these big, sad eyes. You know, come on, would you drop something?
Falls down.
Yeah, would you drop something? Please drop something. I'm hungry. And he's just munching on that toy and looking up at me with big, sad eyes at the same time. Hey, what a cool dog.
You had quite a rapport with Cosmo.
We can share maybe a couple stories next podcast, but I do have to say, Irie, Cosmo, come on. The guy's like Antonio Brown. He's all over the place. You never know what he's going to do. He's jumping all over the place. He's taking off. He's coming back.
I've never heard Cosmo compared to a nut job like Antonio Brown.
He's a great guy. Great dog, Cosmo. Out of control. Totally out of control.
I'm bringing up the Panera Bread next.
Just like the Sage.